From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, September 2nd, 2026. A bipartisan group of 100 lawmakers is urging the Mills administration to provide up to $6 million in emergency funding to Penobscot Community Healthcare. The state's largest health center announced last week that it needs the capital within the next 2 months to avoid bankruptcy. Patty White reports.
In a letter sent Tuesday, the lawmakers asked the administration to take immediate action to help stabilize Penobscot Community Healthcare. Without bridge funding, they say PCHC, which provides care to 50,000 patients across multiple locations, will have to curtail services, close clinics, and lay off staff. The nonprofit has already made cuts in recent years, but lawmakers warn that reimbursement rates aren't keeping pace with inflation. They point out that the state has come to the rescue of financially distressed hospitals in the past and can draw from the nearly $340 million it will receive in rural health transformation funds to help stabilize the health center. Administration officials did not respond to a request for comment by airtime. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
The number of people without criminal records arrested by Immigration and Customs Enforcement in Maine has already more than doubled this year compared to last. As Ari Snyder reports, that's one of the biggest increases in the country.
The surge in ICE detentions in Maine this year has been driven largely by the targeting of people with no criminal history, according to an analysis of federal data obtained by the Deportation Data Project. Through the end of July, ICE had detained 334 people with no criminal record in Maine. That's an increase of over 150% compared to all of last year. Only two other states, Vermont and Montana, saw greater increases. The data also show that only one person arrested by ICE in Maine so far this year has been convicted of a violent crime. Nationally, ICE arrests of people with no criminal records hit a record high in July. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
Survivors of clergy sexual abuse who recently reached a settlement with the Portland Diocese say they'll continue to push for accountability. Speaking today at a press conference at Bigas Law Firm in Auburn, Annie Allen said she was abused when she was 7, and the diocese has never apologized.
I was never contacted by the Diocese of Portland. I was never offered any kind of counseling. The counseling that I received came from my own pocket because I wanted my life to be better and I wanted to heal. And I can say that many of the survivors have had to do the same thing.
Allen wants the diocese to offer comprehensive counseling and implement safeguards, including background checks for people who work in Maine parishes. Attorney Jessica Arbour says she doesn't believe children in Catholic churches in Maine are any safer today. The diocese responded by referring to its announcement of the settlement in July, which said it's committed to ensuring parishes and ministries are safe. The owner of Woodland Pulp in Baileyville is contesting the findings by a federal regulator that it willfully violated safety standards in two incidents this year. In January, a chemical engineer and an engineering student died after being exposed to toxic gas. In March, the mill reported a chemical fire. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration found that Woodland Pulp exposed workers to hydrogen sulfide gas without proper alarms, breathing devices, and training to stop the release of the toxic gas. It also found that the mill stored combustible wood pulp adjacent to hydrogen peroxide tanks, which created the fire hazard in March. It recommended that Woodland Pulp be fined nearly $800,000. The case is now in litigation before an independent commission. U.S. Senate hopeful Troy Jackson held his first town hall in Lewiston last night, hoping to bolster enthusiasm for his fledgling campaign against Republican Senator Susan Collins. Jackson gave a brief stump speech before taking questions for nearly 45 minutes before a mostly friendly crowd of roughly 300 people. While few of the questioners challenged his progressive platform, one confronted him about his ability to lead the movement built by his predecessor, Graham Platner. Jackson, who replaced Platner on the ballot after scandal forced his withdrawal, said the movement wasn't about him or Platner.
I think it's about people across this state that know there's something fundamentally wrong with the way things are going.
Jackson, who is assembling a Senate campaign after coming in third in the Democratic primary race for governor, has scheduled several more town halls. Both Republican and Democratic groups are pouring money into the race, which could decide which party controls the U.S. Senate next year. The U.S. House has passed a bill that would delay the start of new federal regulations intended to protect critically endangered North Atlantic right whales. The bill, known as the Northeast Lobstermen Protection Act, would extend an existing moratorium on new federal rules for fishermen until 2035. Maine lobstermen say more time is needed to study where the whales are and what regulations might be needed. But conservation groups, including the New England Aquarium, say delaying federal rules intended to reduce right whale entanglements with fishing gear will threaten the survival of the species. There are roughly 380 right whales remaining. Congressman Jared Golden, who sponsored the measure, and Congresswoman Shelley Pingree both voted for the bill. It faces further votes in the U.S. Senate. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, Community Radio. I'm Nicole Ugrisco. Thanks for listening.